this was a sample that I did. I wanted to review it in light of what we've just gone through. But basically, let's look at this so we get a sense of how you're going to proceed with people. So you have somebody that comes in and they report that they're really tired and they have these slumps during the day where they get more energy but then less energy, and they've got some hair loss, they're having trouble with their weight, and you're thinking thyroid, you're thinking adrenal, and you run, say you run an ASI test and you really want to know. So this one comes back, what? This is somebody who has perfectly normal. Look, normal, 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 normal. Now, if you look closely, you see she's at the very high end of normal at the beginning of the day. And at the second reading, she's at the very low end of normal. So that's really a spike and a dip, right? Because they should consistently stay within the curve. So she definitely has that. And then at 4 p.m., she's still on the low end. And then at her midnight one is on the high end again. So she's having fluctuations. What do we know we have to look at is her DHEA. Look at her DHEA at the bottom of the page. It's 2. It should be 8 to 10. It's 2. Okay, so she is very depressed. That range that they're giving you, 3 to 10, that's not the optimal range. The optimal range is between 7 and 10, and then 6 and 7 are kind of, you know, borderline, and then below 6 is depressed. It's low DHEA. So that person's going to feel tired. So she's got a low DHEA. She's normal. Her total cholesterol load is right there, dead center in the middle, so it's fine, but she's got a problem. And how do we know that? So look at her graph. Right, you should be seeing the graph to be following the curve of those green lines somewhere in it. And hers is way at the top, way at the bottom, sort of at the bottom, and then close to the top again. So she's definitely having a problem. She had the insulin that they measure, I don't know that it's really valid in the saliva, so I don't usually pay much attention to it. But look here, we look at her 17-hydroxyprogesterone is depressed. It's 18. It's well below the optimal range. And then the secretory IgA is depressed, less than 5, where the normal range starts at 25. She should be more in like something like 40, and she's at 5. So what this means is that the depletion has been going on for a long time. 17-hydroxyprogesterone, you see, you have cholesterol, pregnenolone to progesterone to 17-hydroxy, or the pregnenolone can go down. But look where it's on its way to. It's on its way to cortisol. So when that's depleted, it means that you've been producing, even though her numbers in cortisol are good, she doesn't have enough precursor to really make enough to have enough of the 17-hydroxy. She's probably draining. If we went and did a saliva test to measure her regular progesterone and her estrogen and all the others, we'd probably see that those are low because she's draining it all down to cortisol to maintain those normal levels and even high levels at certain time of day. So we know it's been going on a long time. We also know that because she's got depressed secretory IgA, that that's also a function of long-term depletion. What that means is that her mucous membranes are not being protected. She's at the risk for more gut infections, lung infections, sinus stuff. Okay, because secretory IgA, which is produced by all the mucous membranes, is shot. It's shot. So that means it's been going on a long time. The other thing we know is when you look at it measures gliadin, and I think it's a waste. Gliadin is one of the fractions of gluten. And she's showing up negative, and most people show up negative when they have a depressed total secretory IgA because she can't make enough of it, right? It's just, so it's going to show up. Unless she's actively eating gluten, which she's not, then she's not going to show up with any antibodies against it because her body's making the marginal minimum. So to me, that doesn't mean anything. I see that fair amount. Okay, so that's it. You get the idea here, right? We're looking at ratios. We're not just looking at numbers. We're looking at ratios. And this person's obviously, she's in a phase two, right? Stage two adrenal fatigue, but she's heading downhill fast and she needs to be pulled out. A depressed mucosal secretory IgA may be one or more of the following: excessive chronic cortisol output. Okay, and we need to restore that. A short imbalance, it might have been a short-term deficit, but based on what I know about her, it's not. Chronic deficits in cortisol and or DHEA, yes, but she's not deficits, but she does have a chronic deficit in DHEA, and then maybe she has an inherited problem. Unlikely, you know, that's what they tell you. But here's what happens with secretory IgA. If you're getting stressed out, yeek, it goes down. So that's why that's a good measure to see how stressed you are, and over time you get depleted. Because she's a stage 2, I would put her on the 9 to 12 drops of pregnenolone and 3 drops of DHEA 3 times a day and watch. I would also be putting her on some vitamin C, some B vitamins. I'm going to talk to her about her diet. I know that she tends to be sporadic. She won't stop and have a meal. She won't stop and have a smoothie. She'll just grab a lot of nuts throughout the day. So she tends to go long periods without eating, which is not a good thing in adrenal fatigue. So I would put her on the 9 drops 3 times a day, the 3 drops. I put her on some, maybe some ashwagandha, et cetera, et cetera. So I would put her on some B's and some C. Definitely make sure she's doing lots of greens. Make sure she's off of, you know, all the caffeines and all that other stuff. And putting her on some of these pregnenolone DHEA. And the reason I choose to do that is because she is so low in the DHEA. And I don't want to see her get more and more depleted. And, of course, talking to her about those stress management techniques. I'll open up the lines and see if anybody wants to guess at what this one is. Is this a stage 1, a stage 2, or a stage 3? Anybody? The black line is her, is the person.
Stage 3.
She's a stage 3.
Stage 3.
Yeah. Stage 3 for sure, right? Because she's really low. She has a normal level at, well, she has like the base or the bottom of the normal level at 4 p.m. and midnight. This person's unlikely to be having trouble falling asleep. She's most likely having trouble waking up. And these are without even seeing the DHEA. You're figuring it out. So these are some of the ones that I only should have. What about this one? Now, again, without the DHEA, it's hard for you to tell. But
stage 1 or 2.
Yeah, 1 or 2, right? And then I would say probably a 1. Right, because these are all within the range, and this is high, so her total cortisol load is going to be high. Is this person sleeping well?
No.
No. You generally don't fall asleep when your cortisol level at midnight is, like, a lot higher than it is at noon. It
no.
just generally doesn't work that way. Yeah. Well, what about this one? Stage 1, 2, or 3 on this one? The high end of normal, it's a 25-ish at first thing in the morning, then it's at the top end of the range, and then it goes way up in the afternoon and stays up at midnight. This is a stage 1 for sure. Absolutely, look at that. I mean, it may be the alarm state. If we were to look and see that she had a DHEA that was good, we would say she's in alarm. But still, with this level, she's going to be heading downhill quickly. She's depleting her stores, and she's getting a lot of the negative effects of the high level of cortisol. What about this one? It's a tough one. Without knowing the DHEA. So assuming that this one had a DHEA of 2, what would you say? Stage 3 for sure. Even though she has that 1 that goes up. But what about sleep? Do you think she sleeps well? What about this one? Similar to the first one, the one we saw a little while ago. So what do you think on this one? 2 or 1?
2.
Why do you think 2?
The low cortisol in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She still has enough cortisol in the afternoon at night.
Yeah, she's way high in the afternoon at night, so she's having trouble sleeping. And this is a common one where you see the dips. Like, she has a real bad dip in the morning, and then she gets up, and then she gets up even higher. Her midnight is the same as her first thing in the morning. That's pretty bad. So she's exhausted in the morning and just wired at night. How about this one? So let's refresh on the 1, 2, and 3. The 1 is where the cortisol's high and the DHEA is low. The 2 is where the cortisol is normal and the DHEA is low. And the 3 is where the cortisol is low and the DHEA is low. And again, we don't have the numbers, so we'd have to add it up. Usually you go by the total cortisol load. About this one?
3.
Yeah, even though she has that large thing at the top, She's just way low.
Pooped out.
Yeah, she's pooped. She's getting that wired, you know, that second. Maybe she has a snack. She's exhausted. She's hungry. And at 10 o'clock or 9 o'clock at night, she goes and grabs for some kind of snack to boost her up. That would be my guess. Ooh, what about this one?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, she's really a 3. I would put, I mean, even though she's a little bit in the range, she's probably technically, she might show up, but I want to go back and I want to talk about a couple of things in one of these earlier ones. Okay, let's talk about this. We've been talking about the totals and what stage they're in, but the other thing we want to look at is the peaks and the valleys and what we would do to support people at these particular times. So in this particular case, this is a really clear three, right? The first one is like about a four. The second one is probably a three. The third one is a three. And then the midnight one is a zero or one. It would be three for sure. So in terms of supporting her, in terms of the DHEA and the pregnenolone, we could use that chart. But what other support would you give this person?
Vitamin C.
Yeah.
Zinc. All of those.
All of the cofactors, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What else?
Zinc acid, yeah.
Any herbs? Licorice root, yeah. When would you give her licorice?
In the morning.
Mm-hmm. Would you give her a second
maybe
time?
Maybe a little bit at noon.
Mm-hmm.
Ashwagandha.
Yeah. I'd probably even give her, if she has low blood pressure, which she probably does, I might even give her three doses of licorice, morning, noon, and like say mid-afternoon, 4 o'clock at the latest. Because she's really low. And if she can't handle that, I would probably be looking at something like ginseng or codeinopsis to try to bring her up. Yeah, but she really needs the nutritional support because her adrenals are shot. And what about the pregnenolone and the DHEA? What would you give her there?
Oh, yeah, she needs those.
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably do like a three drops three times a day.
Yeah, so let's look at our chart, and we'll see.
Well, the pregnenolone you'd want to do more of, and the DHEA less.
Right, exactly, because we don't want the DHEA to suppress it. So I would go with the two drops three times a day, if that. You know, I'd probably start her out on one.
One.
I would probably just start her out on one and just see, because that may be enough for a little bit, but then really boost that pregnenolone so she can start making more cortisol. And then really talking to her about heart math and finding out what's really going on in her life and how she can adapt it. That's good. I'm going to look at some of those others with the little swings. What would you supplement this one with? Anybody else, you're all welcome to pipe in too. It doesn't have to be just Beverly and Michaeline. I see some of you else out there. Okay. So what would you do would you think about pregnenolone DHEA with this one? Or is that just like, well, maybe not? What would be the biggest, what's the biggest thing that's sticking out here? If we had to look at it as a sore thumb, which is the sore thumb you want to fix first?
High cortisol at midnight.
Yes.
Phosphatidylserine.
Phosphatidylserine would be really good there, right?
Yeah.
Phosphatidylserine. Yeah. When would you give it to her? When would you give her the phosphatidyl?
An hour before bed.
Yeah.
Yeah, an hour before bed and even at dinner time because it's shooting up, just really rapidly going up. I would probably do her at dinner time and then maybe a half hour before bed. And then if she's waking up during the night, I'd be giving her some when she wakes up. We're just trying to establish a rhythm of low cortisol in the middle of the night. It's possible that this person has some sort of trauma abuse in her history. That she stays on alert, on guard, and she's afraid to fall asleep, and it may not be conscious at all. It may just be burned into her nervous system. And that's the kind of thing when you see some of these things that you have to, you know, gently approach. Is there something? Was there something in your past? And because once they bring that to an awareness, then they can let it go. They go, oh, I am safe now. Okay. You know, and reprogram the nervous system to let them go. Yeah. Good, 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 good. Is this helpful?
Mm-hmm. Very. Loving it.
Good. So what about this one? What are you going to do with this one?
Pretty high. That would just be one, right? Because her levels are still high, but she's probably too high.
Yeah. And if we don't know, if it could be that she's an alarm state, right? Because we don't see her DHEA. If her DHEA was like a 2, then we know that she's in a stage 1. But if her DHEA is 8, she's just still in an alarm state, and she's got reserves. So replenishing the adrenals in terms of reserves is not as important as getting her calmed down, right? So what would you think would be good things to do to get her calmed down?
She needs big
lemon balm.
Mm-hmm. Lemon balm could be very helpful, especially at night. The only thing you want to watch out for with lemon balm is if the person has a severe thyroid thing. Because too much lemon balm, they use lemon balm in hyperthyroid. Use it in pretty hefty amounts, but still you want to be careful about lemon balm, too much lemon balm with thyroid.
Passion flower and hops and definitely heart math.
Yep. And I'd be putting her on phosphatidyl big time.
Yeah.
I'd be asking her, how's her short-term memory? How does she feel about her focus throughout the day? Does she feel like she, you know, every time she puts her keys down, she has no idea where they are because she's so frazzled? I would probably give her the phosphatidyl three times. I would probably give it to her at noon and then mid-afternoon and then, either noon, mid-afternoon, or noon and then dinner time and then bedtime, something like that. Calm her down and definitely talk about the habits and ways that she could protect herself from this. Good. So the next one is 46. That's another interesting one where you can do different, you can mix the protocols for high and low. So assuming this one's a 46, so when it shows up, assuming she doesn't have any problems with blood pressure, in fact, her blood pressure maybe is a little bit on the low side, and her DHEA is 4. How would you supplement this person? And I'm assuming, you know, unspoken is all the diet stuff, right? We're going to clean up their diet, get rid of the toxic stuff, just give them, you know, really high nutrient dense food. Anybody want to try this one? How about somebody we haven't heard from yet? Okay, think it through, right? Think about what we want to do. We want to raise the low ones, we want to lower the high ones, and we want to support nutritionally if the person's depleted.
Give her cofactors.
So
and
cofactors?
Licorice in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And at noon, or maybe a little before noon.
Yeah.
Because she's going down. And
right.
And then start the phosphatidylserine in probably at dinner time.
Probably at dinner time,
a
right?
Little before.
Yep. And I would give her it again at bedtime, too. Phosphatidyl. Good. What about the DHEA pregnenolone? Would she be a candidate, you think? Yeah. When would you give it to her? That's another thing we didn't talk about. Usually you do them 3 times a day, but sometimes when you have a spike, you don't want to necessarily give them pregnenolone then because it might be adding fuel to the fire, right?
I'd only give it at noon, I think, here.
Yeah, I would go with morning and noon and maybe late afternoon, but I wouldn't go with having it at bedtime on the pregnenolone. What about DHEA, assuming she's low?
You could do that at bedtime because it would have the potential to suppress the cortisol.
Right. Yep. Yeah, so...
Could you repeat that? I couldn't hear over their noise.
She said she would give her the DHEA at bedtime for sure because it can help just bring down the cortisol. Right?
Okay.
And you can do larger amounts of DHEA at this I would do more drops at that midnight, and if we're going to do DHEA any other times a day, I just do like the 2 drops.
Okay.
Or I might even do just 1 drop.
And
then
higher at midnight.
Yep. You can play with it. And here's the deal. People will come back to you and say, oh, I did this and this happened. I did this and this happened. I mean, we're coming up with little formulas. People are not formulas. So you're going to say, oh, well, that happened, and you're thinking through the mechanisms, which you guys are doing a great job of, and then you're going to know to figure out what to do for them. It's not cookie cutter. You know, it's interesting because a lot of people want to make it cookie cutter. I was listening in on an adrenal talk that a doctor was doing, and he's got a similar background to me, a DACBN and a chiropractor and all, and he basically was saying, you know, he doesn't want to have a practice where he customizes everything. He just wants to be able to apply protocols, and that he wanted to teach everybody how to do that. And you just apply protocols. You're like, but that's not the way people work. Right? I don't want to apply protocols. First of all, that takes what we do from being something that requires just a lot of skill and a lot of thought and really digging to something that's more mechanistic. And then if it doesn't work, then what do you do? right? So in this case, yeah, these are the starting points for what makes sense for the pregnenolone or DHEA or whatever. But like Deborah's saying, yeah, why don't we give her the DHEA later because it can help to bring it down. But let's not give her very much in the way of DHEA. Now, lower, smaller doses of DHEA are not going to do much to suppress the cortisol. It's just once you get into the larger doses that it might. But again, it might for somebody where you say, wow, they started taking the DHEA at noon and they got even more tired in the afternoon. And you might say, no, then that's not a good time for you to do it. So I believe in really having us be able to be thinkers and to be able to really customize it as much as possible. Having a certain set of tools is great, but then being able to use them in such a way that really works for the person at hand. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I have a quick question.
Sure.
Do we have time to go back to slide 45? You gave the first example of, well, if this person, that they still have high levels of, they're showing high levels, so they think, we think they're stage one if their DHEA is 8. But you had made a reference then of, well, what if their DHEA is 2? So could we go through what the supply is?
Yes. Yes. I said if their DHEA is 8, this person's not even in adrenal fatigue. They're in the alarm state.
Well, oh, right, right.
Right?
Yes.
But if their DHEA was 2, then that puts them into that stage 1 because they've been there long enough in the alarm state that now their adrenals are getting tired. Even though their cortisol's fine, the DHEA is not, which means that most likely progesterone's not okay and estrogen and testosterone, and then all the others in that chain are suffering.
The course in the afternoon and evening and afternoon.
Okay, where you want licorice in the afternoon, like a little bit before noon, and then
before
maybe
4 o'clock,
2 o'clock, or something, 3 o'clock. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I would say that. Assuming she doesn't have any issues with blood sugar, you know, of course. What would you do if she did have issues with blood sugar?
I mean blood pressure.
And blood pressure. Sorry.
Let's see. Well, I wouldn't give her the licorice.
Right. You wouldn't give her the licorice. What might you do instead?
Ashwagandha or B vitamins.
Mm-hmm.
She'd be a good candidate for DHEA, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And pregnenolone.
Mm-hmm. What else?
What else would be good here?
I'm thinking something, maybe a ginseng. One of the ginsengs would be good.
Yeah. Did I say ashwagandha?
You said ashwagandha, yeah. I'm thinking one of the ginsengs, too. Possibly rhodiola, but remember we said the small amount of rhodiola can help stimulate, mm-hmm. and the high doses tend to suppress. So maybe a little bit of rhodiola stuck in there, too. And, you know, sometimes if you don't really know the herbs all that well, you can just look at the formulas, right? You can look at a Gaia formula versus an Herb Farm formula versus somebody else's formula and just see what they have in there. And they could put the synergist.
Right. The mushrooms, the chaga, things like that would be helpful.
Yeah, reishi. Yep. Yep.
I found one that had both cordyceps and reishi. I think they called it like reishi steps or something like that. It was the Stamet, Paul Stamet formula.
Hmm.
Like, get his company.
If you know of somebody who's a good herbalist, like I studied with David Winston, his company is Herbalist and Alchemist, and he has some nice formulas. They're not available at most health food stores unless you live in his neighborhood, but I order them. So I have a formula that he has that's a passion flower. It's called Calm, Serene Calm or something like that. But it's got passion flower and a couple of other things in it. And I keep it by my bed because sometimes when I go to bed late and I've just had a lot on my mind, I just lay there and I'm thinking about this and I'm thinking about that. And the chatter just goes and goes and goes. And it's positive, but I should be sleeping. So I just take one or two dropperfuls of that stuff, and boom, my brain just turns off. The passion flower for me works every time. It just works beautifully every time.
Are you one of the people that the 5-HTP is too stimulating?
I've never tried it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, I've never felt a need to try it because I don't really have trouble falling asleep. I have trouble going to bed, They don't have trouble falling asleep, except every now and then when the brain is just going like that. And I don't think 5-HTP, that doesn't seem like the thing that's indicated. It seems to me like I need to have something to just turn the chatter down, right? Because I'm sure I make enough melatonin, because once I'm out, you know, and I just, it's just that kind of thing. And I've never had any depression or anxiety or any of that, so I've never thought about 5-HTP. But some people that's perfect for. Especially now, remember those, going back hours ago, to the thyroid, the 22 patterns, if they have one of those first five patterns, like the second pattern where their TSH is low, and they have some signs like they've, it's the first one, where they've, what used to be fun for them isn't anymore, and they've just, you know, they kind of have some of that depressive stuff and difficulty sleeping, you might consider that, that the serotonin is an issue for them.
When do you, I can't recall if you were a fan of the melatonin, very small doses, I know you were saying.
If it's warranted, you know, we go through this process of trying to fix what's wrong. And if they're not making melatonin, it's like, what are they doing? I like to stimulate it their own. So I like to get them outdoors in the sunlight early before noon so that the light stimulates the pineal and turns off the melatonin. A lot of people who spend a lot of time indoors and in dark places, their bodies are confused. And then, so they're indoors all day, and then the nighttime comes and they're sitting in front of a computer or a TV with the lights on, and the melatonin, you know, the pineal doesn't know whether you're coming or going. So if you go, you know, in the lifestyle arena where you get, you know, get them out in the sun before noon, which is a great thing for adrenals, by the way, get out in the sun before noon. And then you get them to turn down the lights starting at 9 o'clock. You know, dim the lights, get off the TV and the computer, that can reset their melatonin. But I have, especially if people are jet lagged and they're traveling across time zones, taking some melatonin, or if they really are having trouble and we're not able to figure out what's really going on, melatonin kind of sometimes forces the issue. It, you know, it's definitely protective. It offers protection against breast cancer and other kinds of estrogen-type related cancers. I think that it's just a matter of really, you know, owning this material. The more you learn it, the more you go through, watch the videos I set up for you so you get the concepts. You know, the more you do it, the easier it gets. The adrenal tests, fortunately, are so much easier to interpret than those 24-hour urines or the organic acids, don't you think?
Yes. Yeah.
It's like you can get ownership of these pretty quickly. You just look at a bunch of cases and you can get ownership pretty quickly. And you can get results really quickly with people. You know, if you can apply the good, solid nutritional pieces, get them to stop beating themselves up and get them to support themselves, you can often bring it up. Unless, you know, that one's going to take a while, this one, right? This one's pretty low. And this one's going to take a little bit of work to get them up. You know, a lot of rebuilding. This one's going to take some doing, right? Because she's so depleted. This is a case where if she doesn't respond real well to what we're giving her in terms of the hormonal support and the nutrition and the lifestyle, and she's doing her heart math and it's not coming up, she may need a glandular for a short time to pull her up, to really actually get some extra cortisol in her to bring her up, to bootstrap her. So these are the kind of cases where I would consider it. I wouldn't consider a glandular when somebody has one parameter that's down. But this person's almost flatlined, so it might. But that's not where I would start unless the person, you know, I have to play it by ear, you know. And the personality of the person makes a big difference, their history. That's why it's really good to get to know them.